What's going on, Reality Daily? Jeremy here, and we are talking all things Survivor 46, the most recent episode. And I don't know about you, Wyatt, but it smells like an Applebee's mushroom Swiss burger in my house.
Yeah. Applebee's sucks. I don't care if they sponsor the episode or not. Applebee's is a bad chain. They're not as bad as like the now almost bankrupt, newly acquired TGIF Fridays, but they are pretty bad.
I will say, though, the food is whatever, but I think the marketing for this episode was really strong for them. It was almost like a promo for Applebee's. And, you know, when you haven't eaten for 2.5 weeks and you hear the biggest reward of the season and it's your product, the players are obviously going to talk about it a certain way, and that is definitely strong for the brand. Good for the Applebee's brand.
Not only do I think it's good for the Applebee's brand, but I don't think it diminished the episode either. Sometimes when you see product placement, we talked about it on our Amazing Race podcast, because there's been some, you know, Big Brother Canada, Amazing Race Canada is really bad for this. Even going back to Survivor, when you go to like Survivor South Pacific and they have to watch like Jack and Jill, which is like one of the worst movies of all time, it almost makes the episode seem like comically bad. And it's almost like you have a hard time focusing on anything else other than the fact that these people have to fake like they enjoyed this terrible movie. But I feel like with the Applebee's here, I think it came off as really sincere, and I think that it didn't hinder the episode at all. And I mean, it elevated the story, really, right? It just wasn't like Liz with any food. It was like a specific type of food. And I think that it really was the best of both worlds here for Survivor and the brand of Applebee's.
Yeah, and I will say, Wyatt, it was an incredibly dynamic episode with Liz and Q, and I am excited to talk about this episode with you more than I, you know, I'm always excited to talk with you every week about Survivor, but this week in particular is one I'm looking forward to. I know we kind of talked a little bit before the episode about how it was a very simple, straightforward vote, but I think there's a lot of, you know, intricate parts to the episode that kind of led to what we saw.
Definitely. I think it's probably more about speculating on how this may be will be the domino that kind of like starts the end of the season, more so than, you know, should they have zigged or should they have zagged here, where I feel like sometimes we can debate what's the right move made here. I think we can probably agree, just from our conversation last week, that taking out somebody with an idol, let alone somebody like Tiffany, who I think does have like a shot to win while she was in the game, is a lot better than taking out somebody like Q, who not only is not a threat, but is not a jury threat either.
Right. And I will say that, you know, this episode is really centered on Liz and Q, but the Seegas, specifically Maria, is the catalyst behind this move. And we'll talk about Seega, and we'll talk about kind of everyone's positioning in the game after this move. But, you know, let's go back to the top of the episode. You know, there's this big split vote that happened between Hunter and Q, and Liz feels left out. And this is like, I think Liz is the, I don't want to say it's the beginning of her spiral, because I think we saw that a little bit last week with her feeling like Q overshadowed the game. And she also delivers quite the quote, what the heck, you hobags. Amazing, amazing line that kind of got lost in the episode from everything else that happened afterwards. But I got to say, you know, Liz is top tier casting. I love Liz this season. She's been everything we could have asked for and then some.
Yeah, I felt for most of the season, I kind of felt like she was a dud, because I felt like, okay, like if your only story is going to be like, I'm rich and that's it, I just felt like it wasn't that great. And yeah, like we knew that she had the food allergies and everything. We just weren't getting a whole lot. But the way I thought about it after this, is I said, listen, there's so many ways that a Survivor journey can go. But if you look at somebody like Liz, it's like, okay, she's obviously successful and smart, right? You wouldn't be able to sell all these businesses and grow yours to the level that she's at without being smart. So maybe she comes in and she's like a dynamic player and she changes the game and she just steamrolls the casting. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is like, she's never gonna like going to be like just boring, right? Because not only does she have the personality that's going to be where she's going to be calling people hoe bags in the confessional, but also like she has that way to like rub people the wrong way if she does talk about her success. So in a season, or I guess a new era where we always talk about like, okay, well, who's a dud and who's like these like one in a million castings? She really is like one in a million, because I can't think of a way that this season could have went where she's just a non-entity. And I feel like that puts her in the same category as someone like a Q, who I think regardless of how his game was, I think he was always going to come across as like very polarizing and very fun.
Yeah, I think Q is also one in a million casting. I really, you know, I think the like the tell of a good casting, or the sign of a good casting decision, is, you know, 46 seasons later, 600 something people have played the game. You know, are you going to be able to find someone that has never been like someone before? You know, it's very easy to come up with the same archetype over and over. Like Maria, great casting, but we've seen her before. You know, Tiffany, great player, great casting. We've seen someone like Tiffany before. Q, can't say the same for him. And Liz also, I will say though, Liz does remind me a lot of Carolyn from 44, but I feel the same way about Carolyn that I did about Q. One in a million casting, really haven't seen anyone like her. And that is what makes her so dynamic. To find someone that is even similar to Carolyn at this point in casting is quite remarkable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's some similarities there. I don't know if I would draw the conclusion between both of them. I think they're both a little bit older, not old. They're not the moms of the season.
No, they're in their 30s. These, like, both of them are 30s. Yeah. They're single men. They're single moms. I think that they both have like a desire to play the game, but also not compromise their compromise being themselves. They're unapologetically themselves, and they aren't going to let that, you know, deter them from playing the game. And on top of that, like, they are willing to make big moves. And I think the difference between Liz and Carolyn is that in Carolyn's season, you know, she was a focal point almost immediately because her tribe was going to tribal council pretty frequently in the pre-merge. Liz was the absolute opposite. She never went to a tribal council until the merge. And then that's kind of when their game started to flourish. We saw that with Carolyn. We're also seeing that here with Liz. And, you know, I could go on for, you know, hours and hours talking about this with Liz, but I do want to kind of keep the focus on the episode. So we'll go straight into this reward challenge, which is kind of the main meat of the episode. You know, Jeff is going to reveal at the beginning of the challenge that they are playing for the biggest reward of the season. It's Applebee's. And Liz goes on to say how she is, you know, she goes to Applebee's with her daughter every week or every Wednesday. Then they go watch Survivor, have a sleepover, all that. And, you know, Liz's lack of eating has, you know, been a storyline for a few episodes now. So this is like, Liz is looking at this as, this is what I need to get that fuel for the final week of the game, because they're at a point now, there's 7 or 8 days left in the game. So they really have, you know, they can see the finish line, and they say it's the biggest reward of the season, might be the final reward of the season, if we're being honest, just given how the schedule usually goes in the last week or so of the season. So this is a big reward, and Liz is looking at this as, oh, this might be finally my chance to get some food. And it's not going to work out for her, because Q is going to win this reward. Probably the last person, the only person who would maybe consider not taking Liz on this reward. And I don't know why. We saw the preview from last week. We obviously saw Liz was pissed off. I kind of saw it coming from that, but did you?
Yeah, listen, when you watch the previews and you're as in touch with kind of like reading in between the lines as we are, you're just going to get spoiled on some things naturally. And I think Survivor did a good job in narrating it for the people that maybe weren't as aware as us, and maybe the people that are listening. But yeah, I knew a mile away that she wasn't going to win this, and I knew that she wasn't going to be taken. Now, I didn't know that it was going to be Q, But I did think whoever won was not going to take her. But, you know, I did think that Q was probably the most likely person not to take her after the vote last time, where she was essentially wanting Q to go home.
Yeah, so Q is going to pick Tiffany first because he wants to right his wrong, you know, from two tribals ago. And he's also going to pick Maria because Maria checked on him after everything kind of blew up. And then he also is going to pick Kenzie. And he picks Kenzie after Liz basically just like flat out begs. I want to say, like, was this a good decision by Q to not pick Liz after Liz makes such a public plea to choose her for this reward? And after everything that he has said, you know, it's like, come on, Q, like, you got to pick her because it's just the nice, right thing to do. She has eaten less than everybody. I know everyone's not eating less, but, you know, was that a good move for Q's game?
I really think it's tough. I think it's tough. I lean towards no. And although I can understand Q's thought process is like, listen, I basically got through a Hail Mary here, right? I've basically burned every bridge. Maria is the only person that showed me a little bit of compassion, so maybe I can start something with her. And then obviously I've, you know, burned Kinsey and Tiffany in the past, but they're probably the most likely people to work with me and take me back in. So I can understand his thought process. The problem that I have is this, is that he should know. Now, I understand that's probably a little bit hidden to the players in the game. It's easier for me to say. But he should probably know that, like, Maria is attached to Charlie, right? Like, he knows that she was, like, added him into the six and things like this. So if you're going to take Maria and you're going to bank on Maria to maybe be a new ally, you're probably going to have Charlie involved in some capacity. So I do think taking Maria without Charlie is a little bit of a rough situation. But I think what's more important here is, in Q's mind, who does Q want to go to the end with? Like, who does he want to do? Does he want to go with Kinsey and Tiffany because he feels, like, loyalty to them? Maybe. But I would think that Q is smart enough to know that he's going to have Liz and Venus. This is kind of the elephant in the room that we've talked about for weeks now, where it's like, what happens if those three align? Because they're all three kind of playing a jury goat role in some capacity. But if they work together, you know, there's strength in numbers, and maybe they can kind of be something similar to 43, where none of those three of O and Gabler and Cassidy were necessarily viewed as, like, the big players until everybody else was left. And I'm thinking, if Q's best option to win is taking Liz in some capacity, then taking her on this trip could create some type of almost undying loyalty, where not only are you nice to her, but there's actually a strategic reason for her to also reciprocate working with you going forward. So I think this probably would have been a better opportunity. Exactly. And I think that Liz is also somebody that I'm not 100% sure, if I'm Q, that if I burn her in this and not take her, which, like I said, I don't think he owes her anything, but you want to kind of have this, like, breaking bread moment, because now you can't get that back with Liz. So whether she's on the jury, she's not going to vote for you to win. Whether she's in the final three with you, how are we going to get there? You know, because it's like she's going to have so much disdain for you. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Liz is very successful, and we see it this episode where she's going to take logic over emotion. But I don't know if I would bank on that if I'm Q, right? So that's kind of where I lean it to be a bad decision. I don't think that he should have done it just because it was the quote-unquote right thing to do. It's Survivor. It's a million-dollar game. You know, people are fucking over their allies that are loyal to them. People, like, get saved with idols and then turn on people because it's quote-unquote big. People do, like, the not nice thing often to try to get ahead in this game. So I don't have a problem with Q doing that. I just don't think that's the best way for him to get back in the fray.
Yeah, well, I don't think it happens all that often anymore, Wyatt. And that's what made this moment so real and so raw. And you know, yeah, like, I guess they made up afterwards to an extent. And at the end of the day, like, this decision wasn't going to cost you the game. This decision wasn't going to, you know, be the reason why he loses the game because he doesn't take Liz on the reward. I understand taking Tiffany on the reward. I understand taking Maria on the reward. Kenzie over Liz, though, is the one where I'm a little kind of suspect on it. And I did, in Tiffany's post-game press, she did mention that both Maria and Kenzie tried to opt out of the reward to give it to Liz. But Q said, no, like, this is my choice and I'm sticking by it. And I think Q handled himself pretty well in the situation, all things considered. You know, yes, he looks like the villain for not taking Liz on the reward, but he was the villain before, you know, so he's playing in his role, he's owning his game, and he's playing the game that he is, you know, he's consistently playing at least. And so I have to give him props for it, honestly. I mean, you know, there is no rules in Survivor, and he's playing by his own rules. And I think you have to respect that, because in the new era especially, it's so rare to see that, to see someone that is, you know, willing to step on toes and willing to make tough decisions and, you know, not exactly playing this whole kumbaya business. Like, yeah, they were playing kumbaya when they were playing hide and seek together, but there was some elements of, you know, strategy behind it, you know? So that's what I'm saying is, even like, Q is playing his role and he knows his role. And that is so key going into these final couple of weeks, because I do think that him playing so confidently in his spot helped him get past this vote. It made him a reliable number for Maria. And that is ultimately what got him saved. Without Maria, Q is not in this top seven. So I think that Q is playing the role of this like super big smokescreen target really well, because in this moment, he plays into that by making himself more of a target. So I think Q makes the right choice here, honestly. You know, if he picked Liz, I don't think it would have been a bad choice, but I think that it probably would have been a smarter choice. It would have given him another option. But I think that it maybe would have given people reason to target Q a little bit more, because he would have tried to ingratiate himself a little bit back into the fray. So I think that it could have been a good, like, he would have been able to adapt beyond this move one way or another.
Yeah, I definitely, like, empathize with the idea that, like, Q was probably never going to come out of this decision unscathed, in a way that pretty much anybody that has to choose people comes out unscathed. You're always going to make people mad, or you're going to show, you know, your true colors. You're going to make allies doubt it. So I get the situation. Like I said, I do believe that he probably should have done Liz, just because if he's looking at the end of the game and how he's going to win, I do think that he needs to kind of make amends with Venus and Liz, because I have a hard time seeing him beating someone like Charlie, someone like Kinsey, Tiffany. I mean, you know, obviously rest in peace to her, but you know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time seeing him beat anybody other than potentially Liz and Venus. And that is even going to be into question as well. Right. So I just felt like, you got to know your position. And I get what you're saying. You're a villain. Embrace it. It, you know, it kind of helps you stay in the game. I just don't believe that, like, Maria only, like, saved Q because he took her to Applebee's. I think that she probably would have looked at it and said, like, hey, like, Tiffany and Kinsey have burned the bridges. They won't even have a conversation with these people. Venus has an attitude towards him. You know, I think that Maria and Charlie would have came around to this idea their own anyway. Because they're like, hey, like, Q is basically worthless in terms of in the end game. You got Kinsey and Tiffany, who, although there's some cracks between them that Kinsey has shown them, they're still a duo. You know, Ben's kind of the third. You know, Venus and Liz, Venus specifically, is probably annoying them in some capacity. So I think they had to work with Q regardless of the outcome here. So I do think that, I don't know if there was a right decision here, but I do think that it probably would have been better for him to include Liz.
Yeah, something I want to point out doesn't really have anything to do with the outcome of the episode or anything like that, but I feel like they were just making Liz like this punching bag all throughout the whole episode. You know, going from the and they come back after the reward, I guess, the next morning, and they talk about, oh, like, I couldn't even eat the burger, and Liz is all about the burger, and they kept telling her face like, oh yeah, I couldn't eat the burger. Oh, I'm lactose intolerant, but I had the milkshake anyway. You know, so it was just like all these things, and it just felt like they were rubbing it in her face. I mean, not necessarily purposefully, but it just felt like Liz was the punching bag once again. And I feel like in a 60-minute episode, you know, maybe that isn't shown, or it isn't shown you know, so much. But I do feel like it makes the viewer want to root for Liz as this, like, you know, anti-hero almost, you know, one that turned into, you know, that was such a villain at the beginning, talking about how many millions of dollars she makes. But then she's now kind of turned into this, you know, I'm a single mom, I'm just hungry, I like burgers, like, I'm just like you and me. So I really think that Liz gets, like, some favorable editing here. Also, Wyatt, something I want to point out as well, I know we saw, you know, I know fire scenes are something that we have talked about in the past. I remember in, you know, 45, there was a specific scene where it was Jake and Keturah both making fire in the same scene, and they ended up being the two to go for fire. But Liz is seen in after the challenge trying to make fire and failing at fire. Do you think that maybe has some foreshadowing to it?
It could. I did not notice that in the moment. So good catch on your part. I definitely always think that they are trying to, in the way that we used to predict winner edits, and we still do, but I do think that is probably, you're probably a lot better at being able to predict the fire edit at this point, just because it seems to be, the winner edit can be all over the place depending on the season, but it seems like it stayed pretty consistent, at least in the new era, in terms of who was going to make fire, if you just were paying attention. So yeah, definitely good catch by you.
Yeah, I all on top of that, you know, also, like, I just have a hard time seeing some people go for Liz, like, for the next vote, or even the vote after that. I just feel like there will be higher targets for people, and Liz is going to be, like, a valuable vote, like she was this week. You know, she was the swing vote, and good for Charlie. Like, you know, we'll talk about that after the immunity challenge, but Charlie, I think, was a big catalyst in trying to get Liz to be their fifth vote instead of, say, Venus or even Kinsey. But going into this immunity challenge, Jeff is
Before we do, I want to kind of go back to what you were talking about earlier. I definitely have a hard time seeing Liz not being in the finals or not being in fire at this point, at least in the final four, just because I just have a hard time thinking that she's going to be on the top of anybody's radar. I also think that it's going to be kind of hard for her to be in fire, right? Because it's like, who do you take over her? You know, even if you're like Charlie and Maria, like, wouldn't you at least take Liz over each other? Like, assuming that you think that she's probably a weaker person to beat. I mean, maybe somebody like Venus and Q's also there, who is kind of like, okay, which person sucks more? But I want to go back to another thing that you said, which is where you felt like that she got some favorable editing this episode. I disagree. I don't know if I just interpreted this differently, but I kind of came away with this thinking that the average, like, casual fan is looking at this and they're like, oh, this God, this woman is crying over a burger that she didn't even deserve. She didn't win, and she voted for Q. To me, I think it came across as like, of course Q has to make, of course Q can't, like, bring her own. Like, she just voted for him. You know, she's the person that's, like, you know, pushing for him to go. And I think that her consistently kind of, like, having confessionals about the burger and being upset about the burger, I think that that's, like, the audience laughing at her expense more than, like, empathizing with her and making her this kind of anti-hero. To me, what this reads really is probably somebody that's, like, a zero vote finalist.
And that could be her outcome. But I think what's so interesting about the editing is that I do see where you're coming from, but we both watched the same episode. We both analyze it, but we had two totally different takes on it. And I think that is the sign of good editing, is, you know, showing something and having multiple interpretations of what it actually is. But yeah, in this immunity challenge, they're going to get the same offer that they got 2 weeks ago. Four people to sit out or two people to lose their votes for the chance to earn rice for the rest of the season. And the group is going to be, again, hesitant to do this because it's the final eight. You win the challenge, you have a 1 in 7 chance at $1 million. And all I have to do is sacrifice rice for another week when I haven't been eating for almost 3 weeks at this point. So to me, it wasn't really a fair, like, it wasn't really a deal that was fair for the contestants. For Liz, though, she was kind of forced to take this deal. I feel everything that she said and did after the challenge, you know, for her to like take all that back and not say yes to food, it does kind of ruin her, like her consistency level. And I think people would have maybe caught on to that. I think Kenzie said, like, I would judge you more if you played in the challenge. And that could be Kenzie just trying to get Liz out of the challenge. But also, like, in this challenge with the grip strength and holding up a quarter of your pregame body weight, Liz was not going to win that challenge. So it was, I think, a good choice for her to step down.
Yeah, I agree. This was really like a make-a-wish for Liz. Like, this was like, the food bank is open. You know, they knew that she was going to be one of the people that's more than likely that willing to sit out, especially if it's individual. With that being said, kind of going back to what I said earlier and the way that I interpreted it not being as positive for Liz and her, you know, turmoil of this episode, I just don't think the casual fans ever like look at somebody sitting out as a positive thing. And I think they kind of like, I just think that for most people, they're going to come across and look at this, it's got a little funky. Now, whether that's going to play out in the edit or whatever, I don't know. But I agree with you. She wasn't going to win. And I'm just so sick of these fucking endurance challenges. We've had them for so long. Now, granted, they are different. You know, it's not like, you know, upper body strength entirely, but I'm just so sick of them. And I get it. Like, you either are going to have a ton of endurance challenges or you're going to have a ton of obstacle courses. But like, I'd rather have the obstacle courses, right? Just personally for me, because I think they're a little bit more open. I think there are more people that can win a regular like reward challenge that we saw. I mean, we saw that a reward challenge at Q1, everybody was at the final stage. Anybody could have won. Where I feel like for this challenge, you could have ruled out half the people to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when you have a D1 distance runner for an endurance challenge, it's really hard. And it's no surprise that Charlie has been one of the last two in the three previous challenges that have all been about endurance. And this time, it's not Hunter because Hunter is at the jury, but it's Tiffany. And Charlie and Tiffany are going to go down. And Tiffany looks pretty solid throughout the whole challenge, but she drops right before Charlie does. Charlie does a lot of maneuvering during the challenge, and it pays off for him. He's going to win immunity for the second straight time. I will say this. When are we going to finally see people target Charlie? It's got to be next week or after.
Never. I think that there's a good chance that Charlie may win out. Like, I think he could win out. I think that he could be at a point where nobody, like, people may say like, oh, like Charlie's a big threat or whatever, but I don't think they're actually going to be able to put any type of like tribal maneuvering in play, because I think he might just win out on immunity challenges. Like I said, like, we kind of can predict like what the next week's immunities are probably going to be based on what we've seen in the past. And even when you go into like what they're probably going to change, you know, the final four where you're putting the little marbles in the maze, you got to be able to catch them and put them back in, or the thing that D1 last season where you're trying to maneuver a balance where you're trying to make a stack at the end. I think that actually goes towards Charlie's favor as well. So I think there's a good chance that Charlie's just going to win every immunity challenge going forward. And that's why I don't think that he will be a legitimate threat down the stretch, is because nobody's actually going to be like looking at him as somebody that they can actually feasibly target.
Yeah, it's getting to a point now where Charlie versus the field is something that you may want to look towards Charlie's direction. But I would definitely at this point take Sega over the field.
Yeah, I think that what you'll probably more see in terms of Charlie is, I think you may see a situation where somebody is looking at maybe taking out Maria, and with their main purpose to be to like weaken Charlie. Like, although I think Maria has played a great game, this was like a standout episode for her. We've been talking about this entire season. Why are we only getting Charlie's perspective on this alliance? We're very rarely getting Maria's thought process. And this is an episode that I think was really standout for that. And I wonder if maybe that's because next week she's the target in the booth. And I think that may be a way to like weaken Charlie, especially if Charlie does win another immunity challenge next week.
Yeah. So I will say this, and a lot is going to happen with, you know, this immunity idol that is now in the jungle again. But, you know, Tiffany is going to have this idol, and she's not really going to think too much of it. She feels like the votes are all on Q. You know, there's a lot of celebration after Q drops in the immunity challenge, and Tiffany really isn't going to hear much else outside of that. And Kenzie, someone who has, you know, talked about targeting Tiffany a couple of times, you know, last week was kind of the first time she really did it. She kind of mentioned this week how she feels like she needs to make a move against Tiffany at some point, but she doesn't feel that that time is this week. She feels like everyone's going for Q. Nobody's gonna, you know, hop on board with me. So we'll save Tiffany for another time. Now, is this the right choice from Kenzie to wait on this Tiffany? Because I really feel like Kenzie didn't do this because she wanted to save Tiffany. I feel like she felt like she couldn't like do it at the end of the day.
Yeah, the thing is if Tiffany has an idol, you have to put this plan into motion. Because if you wait till next week, well, next week she may sniff it out. You know what I mean? There's less people. And I think with less people, it's harder to pull the wool over someone's eyes because, you know, you have to look and say, okay, well, like, what are their incentives to do this move or to not do this move? And when you start to think about, like, who is this person aligning with? Who is this person wanting to go to the end with? It's a little bit easier for someone like Tiffany to be able to sniff out a blindside than it would be this week or even last week. So if you're Kenzie, you've already floated it out there. I think you got to go through with it, especially because, and we didn't see this, and I kind of wish we did, you know, we didn't see somebody like Maria and Charlie just, like, throw her under the bus to Tiffany and say, actually, Kenzie was like looking to blindside you last week. You know, you keep them around.
Yeah.
You give them an opportunity to be able to do that. What happens if Kenzie wins immunity? If Tiffany wins immunity next week, you know, like Charlie's going to feel like he's on the hot seat. Maybe they go to Tiffany and say, hey, Kenzie's actually planning on your blindside. There's just so many things that could go wrong with your Kenzie, and let alone in a season. And I don't know how much of this is actually being talked about within camp, but I would imagine a lot based on what we're seeing in the confessionals. You know, we see Liz being upset and Venus being upset because of like their move or something like that. Like they want to have ownership of this move. They want to have the complete equity of this strategic decision. Kenzie has now lost what would have been her big move. Now, it doesn't mean that she can't still win the game. It doesn't mean that she can't make an equally, good move going forward. But I just feel like when people are talking about like who earned this move, nobody's going to be talking about Kenzie because she didn't even vote that way.
Yeah, she didn't vote like that way.
She's playing from behind now. You know, somebody like Charlie, maybe even Maria, are now advanced level. Probably even Ben, too. I mean, they were in on the move. So I have a hard time thinking that Kenzie is going to be able to just coast her way to the end and potentially win, which last week I would have said that. I would have said, listen, as long as she's in the majority, I don't necessarily know if she needs a big move because she has this personality that's so vibrant that I think people would want to vote for her anyway because they would just assume that she knew what she was doing, even if they didn't know for sure, in the way that you would have this ownership over a move that you would need from maybe a Venus or Liz. But now I think now that she's out of that loop and the biggest move of the game has been made without her, I think that she's going to have to like get back on the board. That's not saying that's the way it should be. That's the way that I think Survivor should be judged, but I think that's the way that this cast is judging it. And that's what matters the most.
I think she could though. I think she's not out of it yet. There is still time. It's going to be hard though, because she doesn't really like, she's gonna need Ben to turn on Charlie and or Maria, so that's gonna be the hard part. But I do think that Ben will stick with her, and I do kind of want to go through everybody at the end of, you know, us talking about Tribal Council to kind of see where their path is to the end, because they only have three more votes now until the finals, so it'll be a lot easier to kind of, you know, talk about that and, you know, rule it all out. I feel like I was a little surprised that Maria, Charlie, and Ben wanted to go to Liz to get that fifth vote instead of Kenzie, because Kenzie had, you know, talked about how they're like, she had expressed interest in voting Tiffany out beforehand, while Liz has been so hellbent on Q that, you know, it was surprising that Liz was the one to ultimately do it. Now, I feel like with Liz, there's a move here that Liz could have made, and she could have killed a whole lot of birds with one stone. And I mentioned this while I was watching the episode with my friends. Liz hears about this plan to blindside Tiffany. She nods her head, agrees to it, is like, okay, I understand, I want Q out, but we do need Tiffany's idol out. So she goes to tribal council. Nothing happens. Jeff asks for idols. And instead of, you know, Liz playing the idol, because she doesn't have one, she stands up and says, Tiffany, you're going home if you don't play that idol. Play your idol and Q will go home. So what does she do? She forces Tiffany to play the idol. She gets the idol out of the game. Q goes home, her number one enemy, you know, enemy, quote unquote. On top of that, she gains a new trust in Tiffany, who basically saved her game. And she is the one that has major theatrics in front of the jury that, you know, should be on her side because they're all Nami. But it would add some respect for her. So if she were to do that, like, that's very next level, you know, top creme de la creme gameplay if it's pulled off. So I wouldn't expect Liz to do that. And it's also, it would put a big target on her back. But you're at a point where there's seven people left. You have her, Venus, Kenzie, Tiffany, and you go to four. And that's it. So that I think she would have accomplished a lot by doing that. I don't think it's a bad thing that she goes for Tiffany here. She gets out the idol, which is obviously a big deal. But I thought about that during the episode, and I'm like, that would be the genius number one A-plus play there.
I mean, I think that you would be in contention for maybe like one of the best episodes ever if that's what happens. But I just don't think it's feasible from her perspective, because I just think that Liz probably has come to the conclusion in her head that if she wants to win this game, it probably does have to be like with Q in some capacity. Just because of like, does she really think that she's going to beat Kenzie or Maria? I mean, maybe she thinks that she still has a chance to be able to surpass them, but she has to know that she's from behind. And I think you don't want to go from like behind in terms of like, oh, you're going to be the person that's not respected by the jury, to now like, oh my goodness, like you are respected by everybody to a point that they have to get you out, but you also have no numbers. Keep in mind that she is the fifth person that they asked for this plan. So she's going to be pissing off more people than not. And people like Tiffany and Kinsey, especially Tiffany's going to say like, hey, I'm only here because of Liz. I can't go to the inn with Liz. So nobody wants to go to the inn with Liz at this point now, right? And she's not winning immunities. And she's probably not going to find, you know, immunity. She'd probably be allergic to the dirt that she was like digging up to try to find one. So I just don't think that it would actually, it'd be great for TV for sure. I just don't think it actually pans out any way, shape, or form. I think she has a better chance to win by taking Tiffany out and then maybe trying to turn, you know, Maria and Charlie, the tribe against Maria and Charlie going forward or something like that. Like, I could see her maybe working with the Kinsey and Ben that you kind of floated around earlier. But I really think that Liz is probably aware of the fact that, at least for the time being, she's going to have to go to the end with Q. And maybe that changes later on. Maybe she's able to do something where she feels like she can beat someone of these other people. But I think that she knows that Q has to stay in the game for her to have, you know, the best chance to be able to win.
Yeah, you know, she did say she is, you know, emotional and she is frustrated and she is mad, but she does have her eyes on the prize. And I do think that having Q in the game does help Liz long term. I think that Q acts as a smokescreen, number one. But if they were able to work together on this vote, and I don't know how many conversations they had about the vote, you know, or if this was Sega just kind of, you know, having side conversations with Liz, side conversation with Q, saying this is what's going to happen. You know, I'm not too sure how much synergy Q and Liz had on this vote, but the fact that they were able to be on the same side after everything that happened does show some promise for both of them. So yeah, that's what happens. Tiff goes 5-3. Second straight week where an idol is in a pocket and goes home. Has that ever happened before, Wyatt?
Did it happen?
I think it may have happened once before. But
maybe Karamoan?
Remember beyond that.
Yeah, my gut instinct tells me Karamoan. I'm having a hard time remembering like who went home
I think Fans versus Favorites, the first one, had two straight in a row idled out or had an idol and got home. Ozzy and Jason. But this is the third time this season. None of the idols have been played. No, there's not been a single successful advantage, except for, I guess, Maria's double vote in the pre-merge. But other than that, like, the advantages have been almost a moot point this season. You know, they played a factor in people going home, but they haven't actually been played.
I mean, here's the thing, right, is like, did it really play like a hand in Tiffany going home? Like, yes. I don't know. Like, I just think that like you take Tiffany's idol away, I think this move still happens.
Like, I think that like, I don't agree with that.
Because here's the thing, right? It's like who else do they really take out Q, somebody that's probably a jury goat at this point? I don't think so. And it's like, okay, well, Marie and Charlie, they're probably not gonna target Ben. I mean, maybe they target Kinsey over Tiffany, maybe. But I would think that like Kinsey is still gonna be targeting Tiffany. I don't think that Tiffany's game is made by the idol. I think that she has her own positive qualities that have made her a threat on her own other than just the idol. So for me, yeah. I think it happens anyway. And I think Hunter's probably happens as well. I mean, due to the fact that Hunter's name was being thrown around before he even talked about the idol, right? So I think that he probably would have been in danger too. What I will say about Tiffany is I know people love her and she's like the queen of the season for a lot of people. But for me, I just feel like, you know, your idol is public knowledge and you know that it is. It's one thing to not play it last week when you said you were going to play it. She had what I feel like was a pretty good strategy, which is like, hey, I got to play this week. It's a hindrance more than it is likelihood. So I'd rather play it and then maybe I'm able to find the new one again and do it that way. But you can't do that twice in a row. You know, it's like fool me once. You said you were going to play it and you didn't. You know, good play, Tiffany. But like, you have to be aware that people are going to be a little upset by that and they're going to be looking at you because you certainly don't want somebody going into final seven, final six with an idol. So I just feel like, you know, I just feel like Tiffany, I can't believe she didn't play it. I know that she had no indication about this. I don't think that, you know, Kinsey obviously was not working. There was no way for her to know other than to kind of like find out the jig was up from last week. But I just feel like it's a little senseless in the same way that I think like Hunter not playing his idol to me is more defensible than Tiffany. Because I think Hunter, I don't know if Hunter was going to win by being like the immunity threat. And I think that's kind of what he felt like he was being boxed into. So I think he looked at it and said, I want to actually have like a number. I want to have a group of people. I actually want to like be in the majority because I want to have that type of influence with the jury as opposed to I just caught fish and won immunity. Where for like Tiffany is probably somebody similar to what I said about Kinsey earlier. She's probably somebody that naturally just comes off so good at the game that you probably don't have to have that massive resume move to win. You know, you can just have a great personality and a great social game and just like a good strategic acumen to be able to win. And I just feel like her not playing it, I think it's just indefensible.
Tiff got cocky. She was confident. And, you know, to a point, like, very cocky, because, like, she thought that Q was such a slam dunk that it wasn't enough. So I will say, like, I do think that played probably the biggest role in her departure. But, yeah, it's, man, we are in quite the... quite the spot going into the final seven here, where the game does feel like it is open. Like, I know I say that with like not the biggest amount of confidence in my voice, because we have talked about Charlie being this, you know, big threat to win. We have talked about, you know, Sega kind of running this post-merge. But what do you think, Wyatt, in terms of, you know, the final seven and how this is going to get to three, because I have a hard time seeing Nami and Yanu go into the vote next week thinking they can't get a seat out because they are three and they voted together just now. Like, I have a hard time seeing that, but to be honest, like, Q gives them the numbers and Q has no reason to go with Nami and Yanu. But will Ben be okay with that? Like, that's another thing too about Ben. I feel like Ben was kind of lost in this episode. He didn't really play a huge role in everything. And you know me, we've talked about it almost every week. We see Ben as a real endgame character since the very beginning of the game. And in some cases, you know, he's been the winner in my eyes. This episode doesn't really help that. But I really feel like he is in a very good position after this vote, because Kenzie's going to come to him people are going to look at him as probably a swing. What do you think about Ben's role in kind of the rest of the game?
I really think that he's going to be at the final tribal. Now, whether he'll be the winner, will he not be? I think it just depends on who he gets there with. But I definitely think he has winner equity, but I think he more so has like final tribal council equity. I just see him as somebody that who's targeting him. I think that he probably got to go out in some type of advantage role or some type of thing like fire to be able to go. I was really irritated this episode that like he had this segment where he was calling Q a bully. I just don't think that you can like, I don't think you can actually call Q a bully. I don't think there's anything that Q has done that would mean that. I think people just kind of throw that word around quite a bit. And he just kind of came across as a different character. You know, he was like, that does not rock, or like, give me a Van Halen quote, Jeff. But then I just feel like in the confessionals this episode, especially when he was talking about Q, he was just like very hateful. He was just like very like agitated. And I just wonder if that's something that's maybe going to progress. And maybe that's a big reason why, you know, the audience is a villain's bad if he ends up losing the game. I don't know. The way I see the game working out at this point, I do think that Asuka's got to go home next week, and I think it's going to be Maria. Maybe people will put their sights on Charlie. I don't know, but I do think that he will be safe in some capacity, whether that's immunity or not. So I think Maria goes out in 7. Then I think it's kind of a little dicey for me. I think it's either going to be Kinsey or Q. I think it's going to be civil war between the two. I'm not sure who's going to come out victorious. I lean that Kinsey is going to survive that and Q's going to go home. And that gives us our finale with Venus and Liz, with Kinsey, Ben, and Charlie. I think that we are probably going to see the person that goes out at 5 is probably going to be, I think probably Venus would be my guess. I think that she's probably going to gun for one of the boys. And I think that maybe Kinsey's loyalty to Ben is going to pan out for her. And they're going to send out Venus, I think, at Final Four. I don't know. I think that we'll probably see maybe like Ben beat Kinsey in fire. And then I think we see maybe a final three where like Charlie is edging out Ben with Liz getting 0 votes. But
yeah, you know, go for it.
I really think that what you said is accurate, where it is really up in the air. I think that almost anybody can win. Even somebody like last week, I said Maria was at my bottom because I just felt like that we weren't seeing enough of her for somebody that's in power. Well, this week she was completely in power, right? So I think that almost anybody can win. It's just who has the most potential and who doesn't.
Yeah. I am looking through some Survivor history on the wiki. I want to make sure I get these numbers right. This is, I think, the second season where 3 idols have gone home in pockets. This season, Island of the Idols is also fits this category, and I think there's one more. But anyway, so 3 idols in pockets, only in Island of the Idols and this season. This is the third time that it's happened in back-to-back weeks where an idol has gone home in a pocket. It also happened in 39, and it happened in Micronesia back in 2008. But so we are in for quite the treat, I think. You say that you think everyone can win. I think that message is valid for everybody except for Venus. Venus had no confessionals in this episode, and I just have a very hard time seeing Venus winning this game.
Here's the thing, is Venus would have no confessionals because she's completely out of the loop on the vote, right? Like, I think that this would make more sense. And keep in mind, like, I know it's bad that somebody gets no confessionals, but, like, Erica got no confessionals for, like, half the season. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily know if that's a disqualifying factor. The reason why I say I think everybody can win is I do think there's still a possibility that we get, like, the Q, Liz, Venus final three. And I really think that's up in the air. I don't know who goes
home. I think Q wins. I honestly
that's
do.
What I'm thinking 2 of the 3. And the reason why I'm thinking that is because, you know, Tiffany, as you mentioned earlier, said in her exit interview that, you know, Kinsey and Maria offered it up and Q shut it down. I just think that they didn't show that for a reason. And I think there's a lot of ways that you could do. Maybe they didn't want to make Liz seem, you know, more sympathetic than they had to. But I think it's probably because they want to, like, make Q seem still like a gamer, somebody that's, like, not malicious. And I feel like regardless of us thinking that that's probably still the right decision to do in terms of, like, not let, like, Venus and Maria, like, change your plans, it would come off as malicious, I think, to the viewer. And I think at the end of the day, you want the viewers to be happy with the winner. So I do agree with you. I do think that Q would be the most likely person to win of those three. But I think that Venus would have a strong case in terms of, like, hey, like, I wanted to work with you guys. You guys didn't want to work with me. You know, almost like Sandra in Heroes vs. Villains. And I think Liz, you know, she's probably going to be the person that actually plays the cleanest game of the three. Like, she's probably the person that's going to be in the majority the most. You know, she obviously was a swing vote here. So I think there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, you can do the mental gymnastics and say, this is how Q wins, this is how Liz wins, this is how Venus wins. And I couldn't do that last season. I had such a hard time thinking how, like, Kendra was going to win in this position. I had a hard time thinking that Drew was going to get to the end because he just came across as such a douchebag in the confessionals. Even somebody like Katora, who I think had, like, a real shot to win if she got there based on what I see in the extra press, I had a hard time envisioning it based on what I was seeing on the episodes. I know I was probably in the minority on that, but that's what I felt. So I just think that we have a little bit more of an open door than most seasons.
Yeah, it definitely is wide open. I know, you know, a Charlie win out would be a possibility, although I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but I don't think he would win because he, like, got immunities. I think that he would win because he was still in power.
He has every round. Beyond that, I don't think that would hurt his case either. But I will say, this is definitely a wide open ending. I still think Ben has a shot. You know, I feel like with, especially if Maria does get some blowback from this move and people start to target her, that could open the door for Ben. And if Ben's able to shed Charlie before final three and he's the only Sega at the end, I think that he's got a very good shot. We know that there will at least be a Sega in the finale. You know, they could go 1, 2, 3 here, but that would mean at least one of them is in the final five. But I also have a hard time seeing Yanu and Nami agree to vote the three Segas out back to back to back. They don't vibe like that. But who knows? I mean, Kenzie still has a shot, especially if she teams up with Ben. You know, Venus and Liz are going to have to collaborate at some point here as well. Q's going to be a wild card for anybody. I have a hard time seeing people target him anymore in these next couple of weeks. But it's going to be a wild endgame. And we'll be here to cover it here at Reality Daily week in, week out. Anything else to add, though, before we sign off, Wyatt?
No, very excited for next week. I think it's really going to be, I think next week, I think we're going to have a really good idea of how this is going to go. I don't think we're going to be able to kind of play this fantasy game in the way that we're doing right now. I think we're going to be able to rule some people out based on how next week goes. So definitely excited for it. Make sure that if you're listening to this, if you want to listen to me and Jeremy talk about the Amazing Race, the Challenge All-Stars that he does with Naveed, or really anything else that interests us, you can follow us on our social media pages at Reality Daily Pod. P-O-D. And feel free to leave us a review wherever you're getting your podcast. Rate us 5 stars, please. It really helps in terms of boosting the algorithm. And share the podcast with any reality TV fan that you know. I know there's a lot of reality TV podcasts out there, but, you know, we have a love for reality TV, as you can tell. So we want to reach as many people as possible.
Yep, I couldn't said it better myself. So we'll see y'all next week here for the final 7 episode recap. And we only have 3 episodes left, so be sure to tune in, stick around for anything here reality TV related at Reality Daily. We'll see y'all next week.